Praise the Lord. Welcome to our prayer and study evening. I'll be reading for you tonight. Let's pray for Brother Anthony. He's not really feeling well, but by God's grace, he's going to be okay. So we are in Christ Object Lesson, page 18. Paragraph 1, we have the link over there. Where is that? So in PDF, it is in page 9.2 in the earlier part of his ministry. Okay. Is that right? The earlier part ministry. 24.2.
Right. Is there a different link for the PDF? Because the one I get, it keeps on every time I click it. It just opens up Telegram on another browser.
Oh, yeah. Let me try this one, Brother Joe.
Okay, now let me see if I can get it to work now. Thanks. Okay, I got it. So what page are we on?
In PDF, it's
page 9, right? I thought it was like
page 9.2.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
It's all right. 9.2. Okay. Are you trying? Brother Jim is here. Welcome, Brother Jim. Glad to be to meet you here. Oh, but is he in the audio now? Okay, so let us start the reading. Oh, he's in the radio or in the audio right now. Okay. So we are again in Christ Object Lesson, page 20.2. In the earlier part of his ministry, Christ had spoken to the people in words so plain that all his hearers might have grasped truths which would make them wise unto salvation. But in many hearts, the truth had taken no root, and it had been quickly cut away. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, he said, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. This is found in Matthew 13:13-15. So the people doesn't really understand, but the Lord has used this parable. Jesus desired to awaken inquiry. He sought to arouse the careless and impress truth upon the heart. Parable teaching was popular and commanded the respect and attention not only of the Jews, but of the people of other nations. No more effective method of instruction could he have employed. If his hearers had desired a knowledge of divine things, they might have understood his words, for he was always willing to explain them to the honest inquirer. Again, Christ had truths to present which the people were unprepared to accept or even to understand. And for this reason, also he taught them in parables. And by connecting his teachings with the sins of life, experience, or nature, he secured their attention and impressed their hearts. Afterward, as they look upon the objects that illustrated his lessons, they recall the words of the divine teacher. To minds that were open to the Holy Spirit, The significance of the Savior's teaching unfolded more and more. Mysteries grow clear, and that which had been hard to grasp became evident. That's why it's really nice, you know, the Lord used these different objects, different illustrations common to people so that we can relate, you know, the simple lessons that we wanted to convey. And even, you know, this illustration or visual aids, as we call it today, it is more engaging. That's why as I testified earlier during the SDR Kids hour, you know, in the Philippines, we have this presentation. It's very engaging for everybody because they can see, you know, the different lessons that is being portrayed. So that's what the Lord was doing through this nature experiences. We can get more truth on that, and it becomes more clear to us. Another paragraph, it says here, Jesus sought an avenue to every heart by using a variety of illustrations. Okay, we are on page 9, last paragraph in PDF, and in the link there, it's now in Christ Object Lesson 18 point. What is that? 21.2. Sister Marie. Okay. So now in 21.2 and in PDF, page 9, last paragraph. Jesus sought an avenue to every heart. And by using a variety of illustrations, he not only presented truth in its different faces, but appealed to the different hearers. Their interest was aroused by figures drawn from the surroundings of their daily life. None who listened to the Savior could feel that they were neglected or forgotten. The humblest, the most sinful, heard in his teaching a voice that spoke to them in sympathy and tenderness. You have any additional there or comment before we start or we proceed? Okay, what is this? Sister Hannah, Steps to Christ, 96, paragraph 1. Many are the ways in which God is seeking to make himself known to us and to bring us into communion with him. Nature speaks to our senses without ceasing. The open heart will be impressed with the love and glory of God as revealed through the works of his hands. The listening ear can hear and understand the communications of God through the things of nature. The green fields, the lofty trees, the buds and flowers, the passing cloud, the falling rain, the bubbling brook, the glories of the heavens speak to our hearts and invite us to become acquainted with him who made them all. Our Savior bound up his precious lessons with the things of nature, the trees, the birds, the flowers of the valley, the hills, the lake, and the beautiful heavens, as well as the incidents and surroundings of daily life, were all linked with the words of truth that his lessons might thus be often recalled to mind, even amid the busy cares of man's life of toil. God would have his children appreciate his works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty with which he has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful. And above all that is outwardly attractive, he loves beauty of character. He would have us cultivate purity and simplicity, the quiet graces of the flowers. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he loved to illustrate, to take the illustration from nature, from those common things around us, so we can understand what the truth he wanted to give us. And Brother Ellie posted John 6:65, and he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything is coming from the Father through Jesus. Okay, let's proceed. So we are now on page 10 in PDF. And 22 in the link. Okay, and he had another reason for teaching in parables. Among the multitudes that gathered about him, there were priests and rabbis, scribes and elders, Herodians and rulers, word-loving, bigoted, ambitious men who desired above all things to find some accusation against him. Their spies followed his steps day after day to catch from his lips something that would cause his condemnation and forever silence the one who seemed to draw the world after him. So different types of people were listening. And the Savior understood the character of this man, and he presented truth in such a way that they could find nothing by which to bring his case before the Sanhedrin. In parables, he rebuked the hypocrisy and wicked works of those who occupied high positions, and in figurative language, clothed truth of so cutting a character that had it been spoken in direct denunciation, they would not have listened to his words and would speedily have put an end to his ministry. But while he evades the spies, he made truth so clear that error was manifested and the honest in heart were profited by his lessons. Divine wisdom, infinite grace were made plain by the things of God's creation. Through nature and the experiences of life, men were taught of God. The invisible things of him since the creation of the world were perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity. That's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 20.
Okay. Amen. I wanted to, I couldn't find my hand to raise it. So sorry about that. I know it would be in the it's not even in there. That's right, I had to reinstall. You could actually look at the parables in the same way we look at the prophecies, because they couldn't understand the parables because they didn't study the word properly. And most people can't understand the prophecies because they don't understand the word properly. And the way the prophecies are fulfilling, I mean, just what Trump just did, you know, like in regards to, or what they did with Trump, because we know that Jesus, it says in the prophecy that he was, is not, yet is, because he was in heaven and then he comes down here and he's killed, or even while he's down here he is, and then after he's killed he is not. And then he resurrects. So there he is being, you know, our Lord, Savior, and King that was, is not, yet is. And so the Vatican does the same thing with the prophecy of the beast that was, is not, yet is, where they were in power from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. And then from 1798 A.D. to 1929, that's the beast that is not. And then from 1929 to our day, it's the beast that yet is. Well, look what they just did with Trump, which shows more control of Trump by the powers that be in Rome. He was the president that was, and then all of a sudden he's not. he's reelected, so it is. So Trump is another. The way I'm looking at it is like I look at the parables. If you understand the Lord, if you understand what the Lord is saying, you can see these things that are hidden in plain sight. And I just think that is so amazing that what just happened with, the beast that was, is not yet is, for, and that Eli just put in there, and he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto except given to you of my Father. Well, no, wait, am I in the right? There's nothing covered. Okay, yeah, here. Luke 12, verses 2 to 3. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have heard, that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. But even there, they can't understand that until it actually happens at the end of the 1,000 years, obviously, when it's shouted from the rooftops and we see that panoramic view of their wickedness all throughout the ages, the last 6,000 years. But the way he opens up the parables to us is the same way he opens up the prophecies. And I guess that's the only point I wanted to make, because I just came across that realization of Trump recently and how he was, is not yet is, just like the Vatican was, is not yet is. They're always trying to emulate Christ. And for the people that don't understand Scripture, and they get the inkling or the smattering of truth from their false apostate leaders. Yeah, amen. Because they're all natural men, they receive not the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God, because their foolishness unto them, neither can they be known, because they're spiritually discerned. And that's how it is for the majority of the world. That includes the Christians out there, even the ones with the Holy Spirit. Because they're going to lose the Holy Spirit very soon when the mark of the beast is enforced, or even before it's enforced, when we go forth and try to warn them of what's happening. Yeah, and they're calling him a savior, and they're also declaring, they got a Republican senator coming up demanding a third term for Trump, and then there was something that was said, I can't remember where it was, where it talks about the man with a third term comes forward and does something like this, I don't know. But it might not even be Trump. It just could be the Trumpisms that he's done. Because he could actually get a third term even if they don't change the Constitution, because Sister White said they're going to change the Constitution. And how could he get a third term? Well, he could just say, hey, I'm running for vice president, and Vance is running for president. That way he's in the White House another term. But, yeah, they're calling him a savior. They actually tried calling Obama a savior. They made statues and everything about him. So they were readying the people. Because the truth as it is presented in the Bible, whether they understand it or not, is still powerful. And so Satan uses the truth in a twisted form to make the Pope look powerful, or Trump look powerful, or anybody else that emulates what God does, because that's the only thing that works, is what God does. But if you don't study the Word, you're going to fall for the twisted methods of, like, the seal of God. They have the mark of the beast. You know, it's just a spinoff on the seal of God. That's all the mark is. It's just a spinoff. It tries to emulate the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Brother Gilbert, your hand is up. Yeah, the mic. Yeah, they proposing also to add his face on Mount Rushmore. Yeah. You can have the mic.
Yeah, I saw that Mount Rushmore thing. Yeah.
Oh, your hand. Oh, maybe Brother Joe can unmute him. There. There you go, Brother Gilbert.
Okay, can you hear me? Good. In regards to what was said earlier about Trump, him that was, is not yet is, I would think if that is indeed the case, that could the Vatican can actually use that as a buffer to take spotlight, you know, to take onus, as it said, off them, to point it at Trump. But meanwhile, because the scriptures themselves actually point, in fact, every last one of them concerning prophecy actually points to the Vatican in many ways, but they could actually use that as a means to, you know, to take the spotlight off them and just point it to Trump. Basically, you know, like I said, this is what I would call a buffer.
Yeah, amen. And they've been known to do that in the past, to put the onus on someone else so that they can do it behind closed doors. Because they've never changed their spots. You know, they've always been killers. It's just that they get a fall guy here and there. And so Trump could just be their next fall guy or puppet or whatever. Although Trump is going to do what Trump's going to do, you know, because he's not the, you know, proverbial politician, even though he's pretty good at politics. But then again, being a billionaire businessman, he knows how to play the system. And so that's more or less just like the American politics is all about. It's like a gigantic business corporation. It's all about making money. It wasn't like that when we started out, but that's how it became. The politicians found ways to make money. And that's only because Satan tempted them to do it that way. Just like with the pastors out there with the 501c3, they finally figured out a way to make money so as to, you know, enrich themselves. And if it wasn't for Lyndon Johnson setting up the 501c3 in 1954, we might not have had the Benny Hinns or the Kenneth Copelands or even the Joyce Meyers out there that are doing it strictly for the money, because now they can make crazy amounts of money to, and I just found out today, by the way, because I was looking stuff up, that guys like Andrew Henriquez or anybody else out there that has the 501c4, they are actually tax exempt. The only difference is if someone donates to them, the donations to them are not tax exempt. And so you can't write it off. But he is tax exempt. I never knew that. I always thought that the 501c4 was, it never made sense to me. Why would you want to be connected with the state if there's no benefit behind it? But there is. And that's why all of a sudden he's spending all this money. But keep him in your prayers, because, you know, he still seems to understand what's going on out there. But at the same time, he doesn't understand where he's standing, to put it plainly. But yeah, he could be, well, I wouldn't see him like Trump, though, because Andrew seems to have some truth. A lot of it, in fact. But I just seen it that way, because I wasn't even thinking of that, Brother Gilbert, and that makes perfect sense that they, because they've done that before, pulling the onus off of them by putting it on someone else so they can run behind the scenes. And yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point, Brother Matthew. So, yeah, the holder, Sister Denise, I just looked it up online on the IRS website. They said, what's the difference between the 501c3 and 4? The only difference between the two is whoever donates to a 501c4 can't get a tax write-off. Their donation isn't tax-exempt, but it is tax-exempt if you donate to a 501c3. But both holders of a 501c3 or a C4, the holders of those, they are tax-exempt. And that's what I thought, okay, that makes sense. That's why you would jump on it. So, all right, well, dropping the mic.
Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, we're talking about, too, my wife, about what's going on now. You remember the COVID since 2020? And if we remember Pastor Nick made a video about that, that's the 6680. And then there will be what? Titus, and if you look at, we're looking at this, you know, since we know that the COVID was a test, and it will be repeated. It's like Cestius, you know, after these 4 years, and then they almost hear it and, you know, enforce the Sunday law, but they retreated. Now look, they already pulling out this COVID vaccine and requirements like that. Everything is now getting safety protection, peace and safety, everything like that. And if we're gonna compare it in the 66 AD, everything, it's like really, you know, matching. They have 3.5 years, then 70 AD came. So these 4 years, dear brothers and sisters, will be for us right now to be more diligent, to be more eager and active in giving this message, because this is the time.
Yeah, it's amazing that you mentioned 4 years too, because I mean, they are pushing for a third term, but 2028, the Pope wants 2027. He stops talking about it. But if Plague One starts, because like they could literally do, they can enforce the mark in 2028, let's say, where we can't buy and sell for a year. And then all of a sudden they weed out all the weak people, and the strong ones that are literally going to be in the 144,000 stand firm. And because we refuse to bow to their pressures, we don't care if we can't buy and sell, because we know we're headed home to heaven anyway, and it's not about the mansions or the streets of gold. It's just we love our Father. We're going to do what he told us to do. Then they're going to go with the death decree, and if that happens in 29, you know, like if they only do the buy and sell for 1 year, and then 29, the plagues fall within a year, and so then you got all the comets and all and that one asteroid that are all just happens to be in our neighborhood, in our orbital neighborhood in the solar system in between 29 and 32. And so, yeah, you know, but the thing here is, Brother Stephen, Trump's old now. He's 78. He'll be 82 when he comes into a third term. But the guy's never drank or smoked. You know, he's not the healthiest specimen, though, either, because he's constantly chowing down on McDonald's. And you can see that by his girth. But the thing is, he's a billionaire, and he's got his hands on the most, you know, recent drugs and stuff. Because if you look a lot of these billionaires, they get into their 90s, no problem. Some of them are very, like Trump, he's going to be in his 80s soon, and he's still sharp as a tack. Unlike Biden, who was overwhelmingly all about self and corruption and self-exaltation. Well, those who exalt themselves shall be humble, just like John Paul II. By the time John Paul II got to the point where he's drooling, they took him out and brought in Ratzinger, or Benedict XVI, as they renamed him. But then you look at Biden, and he couldn't put, you know, he was in bad shape. But they needed him like that so they can do what they needed to do. But think about this. The 4 years that Trump wasn't in office, his team was still working, knowing they're going to get back in 2025, or 24, but not stepping in until 25. And so late 2028 is when the election, you know, November, obviously. And so he had 4 years. I mean, they were even talking about this on a talk show recently, one of those Rumble types, or, you know, the BitChute types, where they're on a free speech kind of a platform, talking about how Trump and that Steve Bannon that was behind bars, he says, we didn't stop working. Trump didn't make it in 2020, but we kept working. He said we. He didn't say Trump. He said we kept working to build on it so that if he gets in at 25, everything's all set in place. Because now Trump knows how to play the game, because he was president for 4 years. That's why things are going so fast right now. Like Sister White said, it's going to be rapid, you know, the rapid pace that it's happening right now. So we got to get serious. And like Pastor Elvin was saying, it looks like the next 4 years are going to be really intense.
And yeah, that's why we must be ready every day. Okay, so you have anything else? What is this? Brother Alex said, the policy writers team are mainly behind the execution of the president's plans, ideas. Yeah, it's true. The president puts signatures on what they write. Yeah, it's all scripted. It's actually, it's all done.
One more thing to point out, because we know about the death decree, and they have to make it to where we can be killed to normalize killing. Did you know in the last century, federal government didn't kill that many people, like six people? But the states did, even though that slowed down dramatically. When Trump came in office in 2016, he passed these laws and stuff. He got them passed to where he killed more people using the federal government on the death penalty than we killed in the last century. So the death decree is already set up on paper. And they're trying to figure out ways to kill people without being murderers, like they did to our Lord, Savior, and King, or any of the apostles that they martyred, to make it legal to kill, even though they're not murderers. And this all came about what we were reading here in regards to the parables. And so I apologize for kind of going off track, but the way the parables are written is the same way the prophecies are written. If we don't stay in the scriptures and study the word daily, we're not going to be able to understand, even though John 14:29 says we can see these things after the prophecies fulfilled. But if nobody studies the Bible, there's all sorts of prophecies that have been fulfilled. And there's people out there that don't even know they've been fulfilled, and they study their Bibles, but they're Sunday keepers. So if they're disobedient, he's not going to open it up to them. So we just got to stay in there, because the way he explains the parables is the same way he explains the prophecies and even our dreams. And so amen to that.
Amen. So nothing to be sorry of, because parable and prophecy, they go hand in hand. And it's really amazing how the Lord is using this to teach us lessons like that. And I just wanted to add, further, you see these illegal immigrants now being hunted and deported right away. They all knew these people already beforehand. And prophecy said that we will all be branded as illegals or terrorists, because enemies of the nation. Like that.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. Enemies of the state. Yeah. What was his name? Barabbas. He was behind bars, and he had the death penalty on him, right? And you know what his reason? Yeah, Barabbas, because he took the plate. You know, they said, when Pilate says, "Who would you rather I kill? Jesus, who's innocent, or Barabbas, who's guilty?" And what was he guilty of? Well, he had been a murderer, but at this point, he was behind bars and going to be killed for being a dissenter. He didn't murder, you know, he wasn't behind bars for murder at that time. And so, yeah, like, I mean, look what they did during the Inquisition. They killed 500 million people, and none of them were murderers. They dissented against Rome. They said, "We're not going to believe the way you teach." They were enemies of that state. And that's how we're going to be. Just like in Acts chapter 5, when they told James, Peter, James, and John, don't preach this Jesus anymore. And we know what they said in Acts 5:29, that they're going to obey God rather than men. We're going to do the same thing.
Wow, that's really, yeah. So, God gave us spirit of love, not a spirit of fear. So do not fear. Do not be scared on what is ahead of us, because the Lord has provided us help. Okay. Yeah, no fear here. Amen. His grace is sufficient for each one of us. Shall we continue now reading the next paragraph in Christ Object Lesson 23.1. It says here, Christ did not deal in abstract theories, but in that which is essential to the development of character, that which will enlarge man's capacity for knowing God and increase his efficiency to do good. He spoke to men of those truths. We skip a paragraph? Oh, yeah, sorry. 22.2. Thank you, Brother Alex. Sorry about that. Okay, in the Savior's parable teaching is an indication of what constitutes the true higher education. Yeah, now we are in School of Christ, Christ might have opened to men the deepest truths of science. He might have unlocked mysteries which have required many centuries of toil and study to penetrate. He might have made suggestions in scientific lines that would have afforded food for thought and stimulus for invention to the close of time. But he did not do this. He said nothing to gratify curiosity or to satisfy man's ambition by opening doors to worldly greatness. In all his teaching, Christ brought the mind of man in contact with the infinite mind, capital M. He did not direct the people to study men's theories about God, his word, or his works. He taught them to behold him as manifested in his works, in his word, and by his providences. Next paragraph says, Christ did not deal in abstract theories, but in that which is essential to the development of character. It's more on character building. That which will enlarge man's capacity for knowing God and increase his efficiency to do good. He spoke to men of those truths that relate to the conduct of life and that take hold upon eternity. It was Christ who directed the education of Israel. Concerning the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Deuteronomy 6:7-9. In his own teaching, Jesus showed how this command is to be fulfilled, how the laws and principles of God's kingdom can be so presented as to reveal their beauty and preciousness when the Lord was training Israel to be the special representatives of himself. He gave them homes among the hills and valleys. In their home life and their religious service, they were brought in constant contact with nature and with the Word of God. So Christ taught his disciples by the lake, on the mountainside, in the fields and groves, where they could look upon the things of nature by which he illustrated his teachings. And as they learn of Christ, they put their knowledge to use by cooperating with him in his word. That's why even in the Sabbath, if the weather permits, you know, in the afternoon after the services, we can go walk. We can have a nature walk with our children, you know, and learn more about this creation and glorify him. Next paragraph says, so through the creation, we are to become acquainted with the Creator. The book of nature is a great lesson book, which in connection with the scriptures, we are to use in teaching others of his character and guiding lost sheep back to the fold of God. As the works of God are studied, the Holy Spirit flashes conviction into the mind. It is not the conviction that logical reasoning produces, but unless the mind has become too dark to know God, the eye too dim to see him, the ear too dull to hear his voice, a deeper meaning is grasped, and the sublime spiritual truths of the written word are impressed on the heart. That's why, have you ever experienced it? When you're reading, you're having a study, and you read this one passage, and it's like opening the door of giving you a more clearer view of truth, you're going to say, wow. Because when I have shown that, it's like I'm leaping in joy, jumping in joy, and praising God for this even simple things that he is opening in his words. So, yeah, we can, as far as we can grasp that truth, he is giving us slowly but surely. In these lessons, direct from nature, there is a simplicity and purity that makes them of the highest value. All need a teaching to be derived from the source. In itself, the beauty of nature leads the soul away from sin and worldly attractions and toward purity, peace, and God. Too often, the minds of his students are occupied with men's theories and speculations, falsely called science and philosophy. Look at what the subjects now in the public schools. Even in the seminaries, you know, I learned that those who are studying in the Adventist seminary, they have the textbook from a Baptist author. Imagine that. So it's more on ecumenism. That's why when they graduated from this theological school, they cannot really fathom the truth. It's all garbage. Okay. Time check. It's now 6:53. Oh, maybe we can read two more paragraphs. It says here, Christ's purpose in parable teaching was in direct line with the purpose of the Sabbath. God gave to men the memorial of his creative power that they might discern him in the works of his hand. The Sabbath bids us behold in his created works the glory of the Creator. And it was because he desired us to do this that Jesus bound up his precious lessons with the beauty of natural things. On the holy rest day, above all others, we should study the messages that God has written for us in nature. We should study the Savior's parable where he spoke them in the fields and groves, under the open sky, among the grass and flowers. As we come close to the heart of nature, Christ makes his presence real to us and speaks to our hearts of peace, of his peace and love. Amen. And Christ has linked his teaching not only with the day of rest, but with the week of toil. He has wisdom for him who drives the plow and sows the seed. In the plowing and sowing, the tilling and reaping, he teaches us to see an illustration of his work of grace in the heart. So in every line of useful labor and every association of life, he desires us to find a lesson of divine truth. Then our daily toil will no longer absorb our attention and lead us to forget God. It will continually remind us of our Creator and Redeemer. The thought of God will run like a thread of gold through all our homely cares and occupations. For us, the glory of his face will again rest upon the face of nature. We shall ever be learning new lessons of heavenly truth and growing into the image of his purity. Thus shall we thought of the Lord, and in the lot wherein we are called, we shall abide with God. Amen. What is this? Brother Stephen posted Proverbs 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain person shall have poverty enough. Amen. Brother Ellie posted in Manuscript 29:18-19. That's in 1 BC 10:90, paragraph 7. Noah ridiculed. Before the destruction of the old world by a flood, there were talented men, men who possessed skill and knowledge, but they became corrupt in their imagination because they left God out of their plans and counsels. They were wise to do what God had never told them to do, wise to do evil. The Lord saw that this example would be deleterious to those who should afterwards be born, and he took the matter in hand. For 1,020 years, he sent them warnings to his servant Noah, but they used the probation so graciously granted them in ridiculing Noah. They caricatured him and criticized him. They laugh at him for his peculiar earnestness and intense feeling in regard to the judgments which he declared God would surely fulfill. They talk of science and of the laws controlling nature. Then they held a carnival over the words of Noah, calling him a crazy fanatic. God's patience was exhausted. He said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth." Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you for this quotation, Brother Eli. They use also science, but it's so deleterious, it's so dangerous for the future generation. That's why the Lord never allowed it to happen. To God be the glory. So the very same thing happening today, right? And to the extent that they live like 120 years, they only have 120 years probation, they still didn't improve their walk with God. So we're gonna be stopping here, and we will continue on chapter 2. Is that chapter 2, Brother Joe? Right? Yeah, the sower went for to sow. Yeah, that's the one. So thank you for your presence and for the contributions. And we encourage everyone to be here again next Sabbath or next Saturday night. And hopefully we can all join together for the prayer study once again. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prayer. So, if you can, let's kneel in prayer. We're gonna close the study. If you are ready, let's pray. Let's bow our heart. Our dear Heavenly Father, it's so amazing, Lord, that you continue to give us understanding of your will, especially as we read this chapter in Christ's Object Lesson, how you use the parable, and it's all related with the prophecies that we are having right now, to have a better understanding of your will. Please continue opening our hearts, our mind, in discerning the truth that you wanted us to understand and be able to grasp them and apply this in our daily life. Not only to us, so that we can also share this to others who are in need, so that a lot of people will know your will and be prepared for your soon return. And as we go on to our work for this coming week, may we ask your fresh supplies of grace to to overcome. Help us to be more closer to Thee. Help us to be more faithful and true and trustful to You. For without You, Lord, we are nothing. And may we ask that Your Holy Spirit to be our guide, teacher, and sanctifier. And thank You also for the holy angels who You have sent to minister unto us. And may You bless all the church family who are kneeling before Thee, Lord, with all the our loved ones and all the brethren around the world. May we receive the large measure of the latter rain that You have promised. Thank You so much for hearing and answering our prayer and for healing all those who are sick, not only physically, but spiritually, that they will be whole up once again to continue serving You. All this we ask in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.